Grace be unto you and peace, and thank you for returning to the Sage Saith podcast. Number 1908-23, A Year with the Church Fathers. Deposit your wealth in heaven. Writing to a young widow, still grieving her husband, St. John Chrysostom advises her to put all her goods in heaven, a better investment than she could ever find here on earth. Now, once and for all, if you want to keep your property in security and earn good interest on it, it is all well. I'll show you the plan and the place where no one who wants to steal it can get it. What place is that? It's heaven. Send your possessions to that good husband of yours, and no theft or embezzler or any other evildoer can pounce on them. If you deposit those goods in the other world, you'll get a healthy return for them. Everything we plant in heaven yields a great and abundant crop, as you might naturally expect from things that have their roots in heaven. If you do this, look what blessings you'll enjoy. First, eternal life, and the things promised to those who love God, things that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Second, you will always be together with your good husband, and you will be relieved from the anxieties, fears, dangers, plots, antagonism, and hatred that surround you here. For as long as you have this property, someone will probably be trying to get it from you. But if you transfer to heaven, you will live a life of security and safety and great peace, enjoying independence combined with godliness. Suppose you want to buy land, and you're looking for productive ground, and someone offers you a plot in heaven instead of on earth. It would be very unreasonable to reject an estate in heaven and stay on earth and put up with all the trouble connected with it, for it often disappoints all our hopes. St. John Chrysostom, Letters to a Young Widow, 7. In God's presence, consider, how much of my treasure is laid up in heaven? How much is still bound to the earth? Closing prayer. Lord, fill my heart with the spirit of charity, so that I may please you with my thoughts and deeds, and love you and my brothers and sisters here on earth. Through the Year with Thomas Merton. Images of the World. As usual, one comes back to the old question, what do you mean by the world anyway? In this, I don't think an abstract answer makes too much sense. My concrete answer is the image of society that is happy because it drinks Coca-Cola or Seagram's or both and is protected by the bomb. The society that is imaged in the mass media and in advertising, in the movies, in TV, in bestsellers, in current fads, in all the pompous and trifling masks with which it hides callousness, sensuality, hypocrisy, cruelty, and fear. Is this the world? Yes, it is the same wherever you have mass men, the same spiritual cretinism, which in fact makes Christians and atheists indistinguishable. Contemplation in a world of action. Magnificat. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Children were brought to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After he placed his hands on them, he went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Meditation of the day, turning to Jesus as his children. I adore you, O Jesus. I bless you and love you. I adore you in your public life and active ministry, which lasted from your 13th and 30th year to the day of your death. I adore and give you glory for everything in this period of your life, inward and outward, that is, all the actions, words, teachings, miracles, journeys, labors, and weariness, and for all your thoughts, feelings, intentions, affections, and inner dispositions. I bless you for all the glory you did render to the Eternal Father. I offer you all the love and honor accord dear in the time of your active life by all the holy souls who came in contact with you. I also offer you all my own associations and contacts, whether past or future, in homage to your own, and I implore you to cause all my actions relating to my neighbor to be consecrated to the glory of your public eye and life. O Jesus, I adore the thoroughly holy and divine dispositions which characterize your activity among men. With what dignity, charity, meekness, patience, modesty, detachment from creatures, and attention to God did you move and act in the world of men? O my Savior, I desire that such dispositions may henceforth characterize all my relations with my neighbor. Alas, how far I am from such perfection, and how many faults I have committed in the days gone by. For all these, I beg your forgiveness, imploring you to implant in me all the dispositions I have requested. O Lord, you were not satisfied to live and associate with mankind during your mortal life. When you were on the point of returning to heaven, your most insatiable love and exceeding great desire to prove the tremendous truth that your delight is to be with the children of men inspired you to devise a most admirable institution that would keep you ever with us and give yourself to us with all the essence of your riches and wonders. All this was accomplished by means of the Holy Eucharist, which is a compendium of all your wonders and the greatness of all the effects produced by your love for us. O love, O goodness, how is it that I am not utterly transformed into love and praise for you? O Jesus, forgive me my past abuse of so great a grace. Grant that in the future I may make better use of this divine sacrament, and that as you find your delight in being with me, I may also find in my delight in your company, in thinking of you, in loving and glorifying you. God's Little Instruction Book, 1, 2, and 3, by Honor Books. Golden Nugget number 1 is inspired by Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. Greatness lies not in being strong, but in the right use of strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Excuse me. Do not in the darkness of night what you'd shun in broad daylight. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Golden Nugget number 2, Romans chapter 13, verses 12. Golden Nugget number 3 is inspired by Proverbs chapter 10, verses 19. If silence is golden, not many people can be arrested for hoarding. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Chesterton, Day by Day. In a hollow of the gray-green hills of rainy Ireland lived an old, old woman whose uncle was always Cambridge at the boat race. But in her gray-green hollows, she knew nothing of this. She didn't know that there was a boat race. Also, she did not know that she had an uncle. She had heard of nobody at all except of George the First, of whom she had heard, I know not why, and in whose historical memory she put her simple trust. And by, in God's good time, it was discovered that this uncle of hers was really not her uncle, and they came and told her so. She smiled through her tears and said, "Virtue is its own remorse." In reward, the Napoleon of Notting Hill. Reflection. When an unexpected misfortune happens to us who are innocent, we should not immediately grieve, but rather we should try to see God's providence in that situation. Through that misfortune, God is preparing something new and beneficial for us. One day, unexpected news came to Blessed Theophanus, the abbot of Docaniero. that the Turks had seized his sister's son, had forced him to embrace Islam, and had taken him to Constantinople. Theophanes went immediately to Constantinople, and with the help of God, he succeeded in finding his nephew. He conveyed him out of Constantinople in great secrecy and brought him to his monastery on Mount Athos. There he received his nephew into the Christian faith again, then tonsured him a monk. However, the brethren began to complain about their abbot and his nephew for fear of the Turks, for they were afraid that the Turks would find out and destroy the monastery. Not knowing what to do, St. Theophanes took his nephew away, not only from Docinarius, but from the holy mountain itself, and came to Berea. The latter activities of Theophanes in Berea, and later in Gnosa, proved how much that misfortune was beneficial to the Church. That which Theophanes could never achieve on the holy mountain, he achieved in these other places to which he had fled. Because of that misfortune, he founded two new monasteries, where in time many monks were saved, and where countless men found comfort for themselves. Although his holy relics became a source of healing for the strengthening of faith among many unbelievers and those of little faith. Thus God wisely directs the destiny of men through unexpected misfortunes, which in the moment may only seem to be the end of everything. Quotes from St. Teresa. Remember that nothing is small in the eyes of God. Do all that you do with love.